So you guys ready for the Word of God? You ready? All right, let's pray. Father, we ask that you speak to us, Lord. We thank you. God, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for your amazing blessings. We ask that you speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to talk to you today. How many of you like it when I give titles to my sermons? Yeah, some of you like it? Yeah. Every now and then I just come up with one that, you know, is just like inspired by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I just look at the text and the title for the sermon comes from the text. Sometimes it's just like, okay, this is a good title, but it needs a little bit of help. And so the title for today's message is Thankful for the Treasure. Thankful for the Treasure. Here's the subtitle. God loves crackpots. You'll see what we're talking about here in just a few moments. How many of you have a safe in your house? You have a safe in your house? I have several safes in my house. And it just depends on what I'm putting, what I'm going to, you know, my valuables, the things that I'm going to put in safekeeping when I'm out of the house. It depends on which safe that I use. So one of the things that I value is I value my iPad. Come on now, I don't want anybody to break into my house and take my iPad. And so the safe that I'm going to tell you guys is don't break into my house and take my iPad, okay? So, but, you know, I think about, you know, if somebody broke into my house, they wouldn't think of looking in this place. Of course, if they hear this message, they will know to look in this place. But I always take my iPad and I just go to the couch, I pick up the cushion and just slide it under there. I mean, this is like the perfect place. I mean, what crook is going to break into your house and just, oh, let's go to the couch and look under the, and that's where the, I mean, it's like the perfect safe, right, Billy? It's like perfect safe. Another place that I like to hide, like if I have my Mac, I like to hide it under the couch. I mean, who's going to move the couch and do that? But my favorite place to hide one of the most valuable things that I own is this, right? What this is, right? Not the keys, but the car, right? And so I want to put this, anytime that like we're flying out, we're going out of town, I want to put this in the safest place that I have, the number one safe in my house. And I'm not going to tell you where I keep the safe, but I'm actually going to show you the safe that I use. And Sylvia's laughing because they make fun of me every time I do this. This is my favorite safe to hide my keys. Now, this thing, it's got two bulbs missing, but when I bought it brand new, it was $11.95. So there's two missing, so if you do the math, it's worth about $6. And so I put this is in a certain place in my house. I'm not going to tell you because crooks might be listening. I hope you get born again, give your life to Jesus, stop stealing. But I'll take my keys and I'll just drop them in there. And, you know, you put those in that place, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, a crook breaks in, he's going to see that. He's not going to go, oh, light bulbs, I need to take light bulbs. And so he's never going to find my keys because they're in a safe place. Now, let me tell you something. Here's the thing is that this is worth about $6. But the moment that I put my keys in it, the value of it goes up. You see, here's what the enemy wants to do in our lives. He always wants us to think less of ourselves. Yeah. His goal is to make you think that you got nothing to bring to the table. So that you don't live a life where you're a conduit of God's blessings. Because the moment that you and I realize what's on the inside of you, or let me say it to you this way, the moment you and I realize who's on the inside of you and the power that's on the inside of you, it will be absolutely amazing what God can do through you. But the enemy will lie to us and say, well, look at the container. The container is flawed, and it's true. We are flawed individuals, everybody. But here's the amazing thing is that even as flawed as we are with all the things that we have or don't have, the things that God is still working on us, here's the amazing thing is that God chose you. God chose you. Yeah, you. Now think about you. Think about all the flaws that you have in your life. How many of you in this room would admit you got flaws in your life? Okay, how many? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, that's a flaw. It's called lying. We all got flaws. But here's the amazing thing is that God chose you to be the safe where he would place or house his son and the gospel. He chose you. And listen, he didn't choose you when you were at your best. He chose you when you were at your worst. Yeah. Paul writes this in Romans. He says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." When you were at your worst, when you were, look, we all have flaws, but when you were at your worst, when all your flaws were out there, that's when God chose you and he says, "I'm choosing you to put my treasure on the inside of you."
Right.
To put my son on the inside of you. And so as flawed as we are with all the marring that we have and some of those things we do to ourselves, the value that you have inside of you is Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. his one and only son. You see, but here's the thing is that a lot of times we think, well, I believe it. I believe if you're a Christ follower, you say, well, I believe that Jesus is on the inside of me. But I'm just not, I don't think I have anything to give. When I get things right in my life, then I'll ask God to use me. Listen, you could never get anything right in your life. I could never get anything right. And listen, we're waiting to be 100%. We're never, or as the kids say, we're never going to be 100. I was at a college campus meeting, and I was preaching to a bunch of college students, and I said, "You're never going to be 100." And they said, it's 100. Okay. We're never going to be there. We're never going to get there. God wants to use you now. From the moment that you say yes to Jesus, from the moment, I love what Pastor Kevin York, he's on our board of directors, he says, this is what God does. He says, God unzips you and steps on the inside of you. That's amazing, isn't it, everybody? It's amazing. Still, when you think about you, when you think about all the flaws that you had this past week, how many of you missed it with God this past week? But yet God still chooses to put his treasure on the inside of you, and he wants you to take this treasure to the world. He wants you to be a person that takes the love of God, to be the person that takes the love of God to the world. Well, sometimes we say, well, listen, I just don't know enough Bible. And once I know enough Bible, then I'll be used by, then I'll put myself out there to be used by God. I read the Bible every day, and I study it a lot. As a matter of fact, I've told you guys, I spend anywhere between 15 and 20 hours on each sermon that I teach you. But I've come to this understanding over the last 20 years of being a pastor is that it doesn't matter how much I study it, I'm never going to completely get all of it. You want to know why? Because it's a conversation. God is having a conversation with us through his word. And so if you're waiting to where you get it all down, listen, you're never going to get it all down. But when you have a conversation with God, the first thing he's going to tell you is the last thing Jesus told us. Yeah. Go.
That's right.
Go and make disciples of all nations and baptize. Take this love, take the treasure that's on the inside of you and let it shine to the world around you. Or we think, you know what, after I've been in this thing for a while, I haven't been around for a while. It's really not about time, everybody. It's really about the treasure and about how much we treasure the treasure.
Right.
Let me say it to you this way. When you treasure the treasure, you're going to get a proper view of two things, of who you are and whose you are. You're going to get a proper view. You're going to say, listen, I'm bought with the blood. I am Jesus' son. I am Jesus' daughter. And it doesn't matter how imperfect you are. God wants to use you in all your imperfections.
Amen.
Treasure the treasure. Why? Because God loves crackpots.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor to the right and tell him, you're a crackpot. Now to the left. Now turn back and look at him and say, in spite of that, God still wants to use you. Amen? So the Apostle Paul was writing. He writes a letter to the believers. This is in 2 Corinthians. But this is the genius of the Bible. 2 Corinthians comes after 1 Corinthians. I know that's deep and powerful. But In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes a letter to the believers in Corinth, and he writes it to them because they really had missed it with God. Let me say it to you this way. They really were flawed individuals. I mean, you go through 1 Corinthians and you see all the things that the Apostle Paul is correcting them and showing them that they're in the wrong. I mean, some of those are pretty drastic, like way out there, things that you'd go, wow, that would happen in a church. But Paul is writing this, listen, not to put them down, but to build them up. But then he gets to 2 Corinthians and you read the first three chapters and you see that Paul now is saying, hold on just a moment. It kind of like he takes a different turn, and he starts off by comforting them, letting them know, listen, God is the God of all comfort. Now, it's interesting why he would do that, because, like I said earlier, that the enemy is, listen, Satan is the greatest trash talker. Yeah. And so when you see your flaws, he sees them too, and he'll want to point out your flaws to keep you on the sideline, to keep you from wanting to share the treasure that's on the inside of you, to make you think that your words really don't have value. But listen, the value is not you. The value is what's on the inside of you. Right. That's the treasure. That's what you and I need to carry out there. The enemy, if he could keep you back, especially, listen, everybody, especially if you are what I call a trophy of the grace of God. There's many of you in this room, all of us at some point, in some way, are a trophy of the grace of God. I think about my own life, and you guys have heard it. You know, I talk to you about it all the time. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was dealing drugs. I verbally and physically abused my wife. Can I just tell you that in the early days of my walk, if anybody would have told me someday God is going to use you to be a preacher, I would have said, you're crazy. Now, the reason for that is because I was looking at the marred vessel. I wasn't looking at the treasure that was on the inside of the vessel and the treasure, what it could do with the vessel. And there's some of you here, you're just trophies of God's amazing grace. Your lives are meant to be used to point others to God. Yeah. And the enemy would say to you, don't speak up. Don't tell anybody because of this, 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 or this in your past. I love this saying. It's an old saying. But listen, when the enemy reminds you of your past, you do this. You remind him of his future. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So Paul is writing and he's telling them, and they're like, he's kind of like building them up. And then he gets to chapter 4 and he says, now hold on, before you check yourself out, before you think that you don't have anything to bring to the table, he says, let me tell you something about yourselves. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Does the highlighted first part of there, does that sound familiar to anybody? I've taught you this principle. It's called the first mention principle. The very first time you see something that sounds like that is in Genesis. Isn't that right? When it says that God said, let there be light. See, when God spoke, he spoke into chaos, and out of chaos came something. That's what God has done in you, in your chaotic life. Right where you were at, God has spoken to your life and light has shone into our hearts. And what's the purpose of that? To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ so we could see the greatness of our God in Jesus Christ. Amen. So he's telling them, yeah, you have some mars in your life. Yeah, you have some blemishes. Yeah, you're a crackpot. Absolutely, you're a crackpot. But the contents, the value is Jesus Christ on the inside of you. So he goes on and he says this in verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Hallelujah. I love this. He says, but, yes, you're marred. Yes, you have issues in your life. How many of you know we all have issues? But we have a treasure. What is the treasure, everybody? The treasure has a name. His name is Jesus. You have this treasure on the inside of you. So here's the thing is when you see your spouse, when you see your kids that are born again, when you see your church family, the enemy wants you to look at every single one of their imperfections. He wants you to see their blemishes so that when they begin to talk to you, all you see is them. He doesn't want you to see what's on the inside of them. He doesn't want you to see the value that God has for them. And listen, everybody, the potential that's on the inside of them. He just wants you just to see the outside. But Paul says, you have a treasure. Watch what he says, in jars of clay. Let me just tell you something about some things about the treasure. You can't buy the treasure.
That's right.
You just can't. You can't buy your way into, okay, God, if I just give, or if I just, no. It's God who, God chose you. Listen, he saw you like this. He said, you ain't nothing but a light bulb holder. And that you made out of cardboard. But God said, I'm still going to place my son, my Holy Spirit, on the inside of you. So it's God's choice. It's his decision. He chose you. Amen? You can't buy it. Listen, you can't get it just because you come here. I'm glad you come here. I'm glad you're here. I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised at the attendance on the Sunday after Thanksgiving for two reasons. It's the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and that turkey, that chemical inside turkey, it puts a lot of people to sleep. I mean, this morning there was some people in the first service. They were tripped up by the tryptophan. But listen, I'm glad you come here. But listen, you coming here is not going to put the treasure on the inside of you. It's you spending time with God. It's you seeing yourself for who you are. Amen? So he says, listen, the treasure is Jesus. And you are just a jar of clay. Now, when we read this, we need to see this or try to see this in the context of where Paul was writing this. Because when we think of jars of clay, we think about pottery, you know. And so, you know, if you go down to Old Town and you go down there and shop for pottery, it's not $11.95. Maybe if I put something down there, it'd be $11.95. But we see it as very expensive. No, when he was talking about jars of clay, these people were going, hold on a moment. Paul, you're trying to build this up? You're trying to help us to see ourselves through the eyes of God? And you're calling us jars of clay, these vessels made out of dirt and water? That's what you're calling us? That's what you're saying we are? You see, he goes on to say, this is why you need to see this, because then what it does, it shows that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Then what happens is when you see yourself, when you navigate through life, when you get through it, all of a sudden you begin to understand that you didn't do that. You didn't find victory in your marriage on your own strength. It's the treasure on the inside of you that did it. When you find victory in your walk with God and you just find newness in your walk with God, you didn't do that. And that's important, listen, not just for you, but for the people that you do life with. You'll see that by the time he gets to this section of the letter, he's going, understand something, everybody. This is really not about you. It's really about God, and it's really about what God wants to do through you. He says God wants to show the surpassing power. The word surpassing there, it simply means power that overflows, power that just goes beyond what you and I could do on ourselves, by ourselves. Amen? We have some problems with this monitor up here. This one up here just keeps going off and on. So he says it's really about the power. And he goes on and he says this in verse 8. He says, we are afflicted in every way. Now watch what he says. He says, we are afflicted. We are afflicted. Not we're going to be afflicted, but we are afflicted. So what he's telling them, listen, when life comes your way, when life hits you, don't get discouraged. Don't feel that you can't win. You can win. And the reason you can win is because the treasure on the inside of you gives you the surpassing power to win. And so he says, go through life, but listen, be thankful for the treasure. Be thankful. Thank God for the treasure, because it's the treasure that helps you to win. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Here's what he's saying. When you treasure the treasure, you can take more than you know.
Yeah.
Because the enemy wants you to give up. But God wants you to give in.
Yeah.
He wants you to give in to the treasure on the inside of you. When you treasure the treasure, you can everything that you take will bring glory to God. That's what he's saying. Listen, he's not saying, I wish we didn't go through these things. No. He says, this is what happens to us. He says, we are afflicted in every way. We're afflicted. Let me give you just some thoughts here about what he's talking about. He says, we're afflicted in every way. He says, number one, he says, here's what we are. We are hemmed in. That's what that word means. He says, we are hemmed in. But watch what he says. But even though we're hemmed in, he says, we are never crushed. Amen. In other words, he says, there are times in our lives where we feel hemmed in, but because of the treasure on the inside of us, we're never cornered. Right. God will always, every single time, will always give you a way out. Amen. All you and I have to do is just turn to him. You know, the Bible is filled with examples of when God's people were, the enemy thought, people coming against them thought, they're hemmed in. We got them. We got them. But then God shows up. One of the greatest examples is found in the Old Testament. Three Hebrew boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were captured, and the king wanted worship, King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he put out this decree that every time that the music would play, that every single person would bow down to his statue. These Hebrew boys said, not us, we're not going to do that because we don't bow down to anybody except for God. And so the king said, anybody who doesn't bow down when the music plays to my statue, they're going to be thrown into the furnace. And so it happened that this was taking place with these three believers. And watch what happens in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Amen. Praise God. We do not need, when you find yourself hemmed in, you don't need to defend yourself. God's going to do it for you. He says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, next slide, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Amen. You don't need to say amen. I know it's true. Listen, the God, in other words, the treasure on the inside of you is able to save you. Amen. Praise God for the treasure on the inside of you. Be thankful that the treasure in you empowers you. Yes. It empowers you that when you feel hemmed in, you are never cornered. But watch what he says. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. This is a picture of just simply waiting on God when you're hemmed in. Here's our tendency is to take matters into our own hands. Is just try to fix it. God says, let the treasure, the surpassing power on the inside of you help you when you feel hemmed in. He goes on to say, he says, not only are we afflicted and not crushed, but he says, we're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Let me say to you this way. There's simply times in our lives where we don't know what to do. Anybody ever been there? You just don't know what to do. You just don't have an answer. But he says this, because of the treasure on the inside of you, he says, you're never driven to despair. Or listen, you never get to the point to where you're utterly desperate. You just simply have to go to the treasure on the inside of you. Maybe you're here and you're in a situation and you're trying to, God, should we buy this house or not buy it? Should I change this job? What do I do about the situation with my children? God, I am perplexed. But here's what the treasure on the inside of you says. Listen, you might be perplexed, but you got an answer. You just simply have to go to the treasure. James 1:5 says it this way. If you need wisdom, ask our, what is it, everybody? Our generous God. He's got all the wisdom you need, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. In other words, he's not going, you big dummy, like Fred Sanford would say. You should know this already. Here's the thing is that it doesn't matter how many times we come to God and ask him for wisdom. He's so loving and he's so generous that he's always going to give you the answer when you find yourself at this place. I just feel lost. I just feel like I don't know what to do next. Listen, you might feel lost, but because of the treasure empowering you on the inside of you, you will never be completely lost. Amen. Amen? And he goes on and he says, not only that, he says, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. There's things that come after us. You have an enemy, everybody. Paul says, We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. You have an enemy that hates you. And listen, he hates everything that you represent, and he hates it the most when you shine your light before people that they might see your good works and give glory to God. He hates that the most. And so what is he going to do? He's going to come after you. He's going to persecute you. But watch what he says. We're persecuted, but we're never forsaken. In other words, this is coming against me. The enemy is coming against me. People are coming against me. But God will never abandon me. And the reason for that is because he's on the inside of you. Deuteronomy 3:6 says it this way. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic. Do not what? Do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Hallelujah. The treasure empowers you to also, listen, he says, we're struck down, but we're never destroyed. We're struck down, but never destroyed. Let me say it to you this way. There's times where you're going to get knocked down, but you will never get knocked out. I like the movie Rocky. You guys like the Rocky movies? One of my favorite scenes in the movie Rocky is when he's talking to his son, and he's the son is like, you know, it's going to get hard for me now because you want to fight again, and you're like abuelito, and you shouldn't be fighting. And that's a grandfather. And he goes, you shouldn't be fighting. And then Rocky just steps up, and he says, let me tell you. He goes, the greatest thing that's going to come against you is life. He said, and life comes against everybody. And he goes, and here's the thing. It's really not about how hard you get hit. It's about how many times you get hit. You go down, and you keep getting up. And people who have the treasure, God's people who have the treasure on the inside of them, they will get knocked down. I have been knocked down. Maybe you're knocked down right now, but when you are empowered by the treasure, you will never get knocked out. Amen, everybody? And that's why we need to be thankful for the treasure on the inside of us, because we might get knocked down, but we never get knocked out. Number two, we need to be thankful for the treasure because it enables you to walk your talk. It enables you to live out what you say you believe. Watch what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, he says, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. What's he talking about? Listen, it simply means this, that the power, the treasure on the inside of you enables to walk your talk by saying no to you. By saying no to you. Oh, Pastor, I just couldn't help myself. Yeah, you could. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but he does, and he's on the inside of you. And Paul says, listen, if we've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. We live the crucified life. In other words, we're enabled by the treasure on the inside of us to say no to ourselves, to say no to you. He goes on and he says this in verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal bodies. What does he mean? The power, the treasure on the inside of you enables to walk your talk by helping you to say yes to Jesus. When he shows up in your life and he says, I want you to do this, I want you to surrender this, I want you to follow me in this, it enables you, the treasure, to say yes to Jesus. There's been times in my life, times in your life where God has called you to do things and you go, I don't know that I can do that. You're right, you can't. But because of the treasure, you have surpassing power that can enable you to do more than you could ever think or imagine. To step out and to really be everything that God has called you to be. He goes on and he says in verse 12, so death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have this same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, so I speak. We also believe, so we also speak. The treasure on the inside of you enables you to walk your talk by helping you to speak up and tell others about what you believe. Amen. You see, it's easy to do it in this room. In this room, it's easy to raise your hands and praise hallelujah. But it's out there where God wants the the broken vessels, the cracked pots, to let the light shine and speak up when people see your flaws, when they see that you're human just like they are, it gives them hope.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I do my best to let the light of God shine. And, you know, when I was going to Bible school, they said, listen, there's certain things that a pastor shouldn't say when he's preaching. He shouldn't be ultra transparent. I never want to be that with you, because I want you to know that I'm just as human as you are. I'm just as marred as you are. And I want you to see that the treasure on the inside of me helps me to have a great marriage when 14 years into it, we didn't have a great marriage. When I'm going through situations with my health, when I'm going through situations with my family, I stood up here and I told you that my daughter got married and got divorced. I told you that. Why? Was that so that you would have pity on? No, listen, it's so that you could have faith that God is still at work in our lives. And God sees the brokenness in our lives, but he still pours his treasure on the inside of us. And he enables us. He enables us to be able to live out the best life possible.
Yeah.
Amen, everybody?
Amen.
So the treasure helps you not only to do that, but listen, verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into this presence. The treasure on the inside of you enables to walk your talk by helping you to live, listen everybody, for now and later. We're not going to be here forever. So we should, listen, I'm all about, you know, taking care of this vessel, trying to limit the cracks, trying to limit the blemishes. Matter of fact, I got something amazing in store for you in January. You're not going to want to miss my series in January. It's called All In. And we're going to end in January I'm going to bring somebody in that's going to help us and talk to us about what the Bible says about taking care of our bodies. I'm all in for that. But these bodies aren't going to last forever. I didn't have these wrinkles 10 years ago. I didn't have this gray hair 10 years ago. So, but listen, we need to live for now. We need to live the best life now. Live for God, bring glory to God now. But we also need to live for later. Live for what's important. Live for what really is important, eternity. Amen? And lastly, be thankful, because the treasure on the inside is in a crack pot. It's in you. You say, Pastor, why should I be thankful for that? Because like I said earlier, it really isn't about you. It's about others. It's about the people that are around you, that are watching you. Verse 15, for it is all for your sake. Paul said, you know, everything that I just went through, everything that I just talked about, being afflicted, being perplexed, being knocked down, all those things that I went through, they were for you, for your sake. Isn't it true, everybody, that we read about Paul's life and we read about everything that he went through and we're encouraged? And we can see that God can do in us and through us what he did in the Apostle Paul. You see, when people see what you're going through, listen, it's for their sake. So that they can have hope in God. He goes, listen, it's for your sake. So that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. That people can go, I'm so thankful for your flawed life. I'm thankful that you're a crackpot. Because it's your cracked life that let the light of God shine, the grace of God extend to me. And now I can see that God has a place for me. I came across this story in my study. It's called The Crackpot. Many years ago, in a very poor Middle East village, stood an ancient stone well. Alongside of that well sat two large watering pots. One of them was like new, beautifully formed, and even had graceful etchings along its curved handle. The other, not as new yet useful, had become cracked over the years. Time after time, the pot was passed over by the people, with the exception of a little village girl. She had grown fond of the neglected pitcher. Every day she would choose it instead of the beautiful pot. One morning, the old pot asked the little girl, "Why do you continue to use me when you know I am flawed and cannot hold the water you and your family so desperately need?" The little girl spoke not a word, but carried the crack pot to a familiar pathway that she traveled daily. With her tiny voice, she said, This is why I pick you. There before the pot was a row of delicate wildflowers that had bloomed along the trail because of the water that had trickled and leaked from the pot. The buried seeds of the flowers had been watered as she made her way home each day. The crackpot, for the first time, had seen its worth through the eyes of a grateful little girl. There's people in your life that you have no idea that they're grateful for the cracks in your life, that you're not perfect, and that you live your life and let God's grace shine through you. When you talk to them about the things that you're walking through and how God has come through for you, you're sowing seeds. You're watering their life. Paul says one plants a seed and another one waters. That's how you water people's lives. When they see your reality, when they see your real life and how you turn to God, it gives them hope. Grace, Paul says, is extended. Grace is extended as more and more people may bring thanksgiving and they give glory to God. How do they give glory to God? Why do they give glory to God? Because the treasure now is put on the inside of them because you lived your marred life right in front of them. Yeah. Amen? Amen? He goes on to say, verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Let me tell you something, crackpots. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things, the treasure, that are unseen. Hallelujah. Amen. Be thankful for the treasure. Because God loves crackpots. So I do this this devotional. It's a little devotional that I do by a man named Rick Renner. The title of it escapes me. Bob, what's the title of it? Sparkling Gems. Bob reads it as well. The guy's name is Rick Renner, Sparkling Gems. I want to encourage you, if you want a devotional that'll kind of go a little bit, you should read that one. I was reading the devotional a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And when he got done sharing his devotional with us in the book, in the journal, he shared a declaration. And he said, basically, he was saying, this is what jars of clay should believe about themselves. And listen, they should say it about themselves. And so I want us to read this declaration aloud together because we're all jars of clay. Amen. So I want you to stand. Would you stand with me? And I want us to read this out loud together. This is an all skate. All of us, let's read this together. Ready? Read. I declare that even if I occasionally get knocked down, I am never knocked out. I possess the supernatural ability to keep getting up again because I am born of God and I overcome the world. Regardless of what weapon Satan uses or how he attempts to combat me, my faith overrides and supersedes any event, any circumstance, and any difficult dilemma Satan would try to employ against me. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give him a hand, everybody? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for your presence on the inside of us. God, we thank you for the treasure that you have put on the inside of us with all our flaws, with all our marring, God. We thank you, Lord, that you shine your light in us, that we may shine your light through us, God. And so, Father, I thank you for every person in this room with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, in other words, you're not sure that if you left planet Earth today, you would go spend eternity with God. The Bible says you can be sure. The Bible says if you turn from sin and if you turn from serving yourself and you turn to Jesus and then you repent, in other words, you ask for forgiveness of your sin and you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, he died for you, was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the grave. If you believe that and surrender your life to him, the Bible says you will be born again and the treasure will be put on the inside of you. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I've asked everybody to bow their head and close their eyes for privacy. But in order to pray for you, I need to see who you are. If that's you, You say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Would you raise your hand? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. You can put your hands down. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, except for those of you who raised your hands, would you look up here at me for just a moment? I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Listen, for two reasons. Because you're doing two things. Number one is you're admitting that you're flawed, just like the rest of us. And secondly, you're admitting and you're confessing that you need Jesus and that he's the only one, when he puts the treasure on the inside of you, that's going to help you to live your best life. But that starts with this thing first. Starts with repentance, asking for forgiveness, and believing. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me. Everybody in this room that's a Christ follower, we're going to pray it with you. This is why. Because we don't do this alone. We do this as a spiritual family. And we want you to know you're not alone. Would you bow your head and pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, come on, everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Today, I believe that he died for me. I believe that he rose from the grave. Today, I repent. I turn from sin and myself, and I turn to Jesus. Today, I surrender. I surrender my life to him. And today I am born again. I declare that I am a jar of clay filled with the treasure of his son. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody, let's give them a hand. Hallelujah.